Welcome to the Ask a CEO show, a show that chronicles the journey of CEOs to their corner office position and what it's like running their companies on a day-to-day basis. Today, we bring to you a very special guest. Rich Heumann runs a company called H2M Architects and Engineers. Rich is a throwback to the old days, when you would start your career at a bottom rung, work your way up by hard work and initiative, and if you're any good, get promoted to more and more responsible positions. Not to say that Rich didn't do all of those things, but he started at H2M as an intern 34 years ago and was named CEO in 2013. And I might add that he's so outstanding that he's been inducted to the Long Island Business Hall of Fame. So Rich runs the 500 plus employee company today that undertakes architectural and design projects that range from treatment facilities to firehouses, from land surveying to road reconstruction, and from site assessment to remediation. Should be a very interesting conversation. So Rich, a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, Greg, it's a pleasure to be with you today. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, I love this job. You know, the CEO job of Lorraine Gregory is one thing, but my passion is talking to other CEOs because I always pick up a pearl. And I can't tell you how many times I stole ideas and put them in my company because I'm a much better CEO with that input than I am on my own. So thank you very much. And I'm going to be watching out for the pearls today.
There you go.
So, Rich, you started out a little different than most. And I said that in my intro. You started out as an intern in your company lots and lots of years ago. So tell me, before you actually got to H2M, did you want to be an engineer? What was that like when you were growing up? What brought you to that decision?
So, I've always been one of those strong, math and science guys. Athlete, I played some soccer and was in math clubs and science clubs. And my father actually knew one of the senior partners here at H2M, back in the early 80s, and trying to give me some guidance, he had a conversation with one of those senior partners and kind of got informed himself about engineering, what engineering is all about. So when he and I were talking about it, I said, that sounds exciting. Looking for something I could do in a career that would be part of making people's lifestyles better and building things and designing things was extremely interesting to me. So I'd say, I just kind of found my way into engineering and it's been great ever since.
So when you were growing up, you were local, you lived local and everything. You knew about the company, your father was involved with the company. What was that all about, your upbringing?
So I grew up in Hicksville. My parents both worked for the US Postal Service. So we were a very blue collar family. I think growing up, my father, worked in the post office, deliver mail during the day, and he parked cars at night. Did everything he could for me and my three sisters. Life was simple and life was good, but, we were all, extremely hard workers and my mother and father instilled in me, be committed, work hard, make the team better. And, those are things that stay with you your entire life and things I think, help me make myself successful in my journey here at H2M.
I'm almost harking back to my upbringing, which was the same thing. Show up every day, work as hard as you can. You're responsible for the effort, the results will take care of themselves. Now, did you always have designs on rising up in the company to the CEO spot, or is it just happenstance, or how did that happen?
I think early on it was always about working hard, showing your value, what else could you do, how could I be a better team member. A lot of the work that we do here at H2M is collaborative. We work as team members in designing projects and building projects, which it provides kind of great, institutional capacity in kind of making you who you are. And as I started to, grow here, I found that there was nothing holding me back. You know, I never had a supervisor who was limiting me to, you know, make sure you get your tasks done. It was always, if there was more that you believed you could do and could you bring more value, we're going to let you do it. And I was one of those people that, you know, saw opportunities whenever they presented themselves and jumped on them. And I think the freedom that people like Dennis Kelleher here and John Malloy here gave me, the opportunities to grow, really put me in the position to be able to finally ascend to being a CEO.
So you got some encouragement from inside the wire, which is always a wonderful thing. Hey, kid, you're doing great. Keep it up, right? So that took you, you were there since what, 1987 as an intern?
1987, I started interning here while I was going to school. And, I think I worked in the post office. My father got me a summer job there. I think I worked at 7-Eleven and I worked at H2M. So that's been my entire professional life has been that.
So you've been a slacker. You never really worked real hard, you know. That's hilarious. You're an overnight success 34 years later.
Yeah. Right?
But you run a hell of a company. I mean, you guys are well known, well established. I think you have, 500 employees now?
Just about 500, yeah.
Maybe you could tell the audience about what the company is really like. What's the profile of the company? What's the market that you're in? And how do you go about servicing those types of accounts?
We're a multidiscipline design firm. And what that means is that we've got, in-house capabilities. We've got, a robust architectural practice. We've got every type of engineering discipline that go into designing buildings, designing roadways, water treatment facilities, wastewater treatment facilities. So, frankly, everything that goes into building our communities, H2M has internal expertise in doing that kind of design work. And, really over the years, what we've done to kind of grow and diversify our service offerings is, if there's something a client needed, instead of, going at a house, we figured out a way to develop the skill set in-house so that it didn't matter what the problem was on a project. We always had somebody here that we could send out to a job site, send out to a client meeting, and really kind of control, our own value that we bring to all of our clients. And, to me, that's one of the reasons why we're strong as we are. We've been able to grow as we have that. We're always willing to reinvest in ourselves and grow our own services.
So your growth was, how do I want to put this, based on client demand, but was there a design going forward, how you were going to achieve that growth through that mechanism?
There was a bit. So when I took over the firm in 2013, we were a little more than 200 employees. We were coming out of the Great Recession, work was tough. I feel as though, H2M maybe is compared to some of our competitors in the industry. We avoided having to lay people off during that period. So that whole 2009 to 2012 tough period, we kind of stayed flat, but we trimmed ourselves up. We invested in the right ways internally so that when the economy really loosened up and private sector started moving again and public sector started moving again, we were really able to springboard forward. So we grew from 2013 to 2016, almost doubling in our size over a 3 to 4 year period. And it's been the way you just described it, looking for opportunities with existing clients and new clients to provide new services and, being willing to take some risks. Engineers don't often like to take risks. We're pretty conservative.
I used to have a lot of hair. you're going to have to tell me the trick of how you're maintaining yours, however.
Yeah, I know. I will. Well, I don't know if I want to tell you that. I will. Okay. Offline.
Offline. Okay.
I've been willing to take some, I think, strategic risks. And, if you're going to grow successfully, you need to be willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So when you, I'm assuming you have a board. Yes.
I have a board of directors.
So when you approach the board and say, listen, I think I want to do this, how difficult it is to get them on board. Is it a tough task, or you got really good people that are behind you 100%?
We're really aligned. So I have a great board. I'll do the things I need to do to, lay the groundwork so that when I finally come and present to them what I would like to do, it's not the first time they're hearing it. And, I feel as though I'm a good consensus builder. I'm very transparent. I'm very open and honest so that, if I present something, it's a bad idea. I'm fine taking that kind of feedback and criticism, but it doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'll keep doing things I think we need to do.
That's interesting because we all have to answer to somebody at some point.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is a very, very lonely position if you don't have somebody to answer to. Somebody to keep your feet to the fire, right?
Yeah.
So listen, I'm going to back up just a hair. Right? Yeah. Because you were with the one company for 34 years, which is very unusual nowadays. Can you make a case for staying put and a case for moving on to greener pastures?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, when you find the right company, the right opportunities, as I did, you can stay at one firm and, you can achieve whatever you believe you want to achieve for yourself and your career. But if you're in a situation or working for a firm where you just don't see the opportunity for yourself, but you want to strive and you want to ascend and you want to endeavor to do more and be more, then I think you do have to look outside of your own organization. And that's something that's very personal. People need to know for themselves where they want to go, what they want their career to be. I believe it's a company's obligation to give employees opportunities. And if you see them, I would much prefer people that are willing to roll their sleeves up and work hard and build. So obviously I'm a, stick with one company and make it great. But we're not all made the same. So I think there are opportunities for people to maybe achieve more if they went to a new organization.
As you deal with employees over the years, you try to bring them along. You try to wrap your arms around them, tell them, hey, this is a really good place to work and we'll give you all the opportunities. They're always going to make their own decisions and you can't always impact that decision. You have to wish them well and say, God bless you. And if you ever get in trouble, give me a call, especially the good ones. The bad ones, all right, we'll see you later. Here's coffee and go home now. Right? We've had those too, right? So. Listen, it's time for us to do a little bill paying. So we're going to take a little commercial break, if you don't mind. And we'll be back very shortly.
Great, thanks.
Want to get your marketing and advertising out to the widest audience with maximum effect? Check out Lorraine Gregory Communications, an award-winning agency telling personal and brand stories for more than 30 years. Tell your company's story with digital and traditional advertising and marketing. Visit LorraineGregory.com today.
And we're back with Rich Heumann, the CEO of H2M Architects and Engineers. Rich, now you're running a 500 plus employee organization. And in terms of being able to keep the right people in the right seats, right? It's very, very important. How do you go about that? And how do you measure the performance and the success of those people in those seats?
That's a great observation, and probably the biggest challenge here, I think, has been what you just described. And for us, as we've grown, we've been willing to reexamine ourselves. We've been willing to evolve, and that's also something that's not easy with technical people, engineers, and scientists, and architects. Change is often not comfortable. But if you're not willing to change, you're not going to be able to successfully grow. So as we've been growing, I've been, creating kind of, new boxes, new leadership boxes, and have been willing to look at the company in new ways in order to allow people, leaders who are extremely valuable in their current role, there's risk in pulling them out and, putting them up the next rung into the next leadership position. because you have a concern, are the emerging leaders going to be able to be as successful as that person was? You know, when you're growing rapidly, that's, I think, one of the most challenging assessments to make is, are you creating the right opportunities for people to grow? Are you selecting the right individuals to put in those new leadership positions? And, you know, if you make a wrong move, are you willing to talk with the people that you need to acknowledge that you made a bad move and you
might
need
have been
to
incorrect. Yeah.
So clearly an important topic.
So you bring up leadership. Leadership obviously is what we live and breathe every single day, right? And success as a leader meets at the crossroads of style and substance. So in terms of your management style, how would you describe it? And why do you think it works as well as it does for you?
So I would consider myself very open, very transparent, very willing to solicit feedback from people, willing to take criticism, but always somebody's going to be very decisive. So everybody here knows that I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to talk, but at the end, I'm making a decision. And my decision is going to be the decision that the company is going to abide by moving forward. So, you know, you can be a consensus builder, but you can't be decision by committee. To me, decision by committee doesn't work. You know, when you make your decisions, you need to then own them and make sure that whatever needs to be driven within the organization, that you're willing to, you know, do that kind of work and, you know, make sure that everybody here understands the decisions that are being made are always in the interest of the company and its employees. And when you, you'll create that foundation for yourself, good decisions, bad decisions, I think people always look at you as you're always trying to make the best decision you can.
Do you think that your position as the CEO is very much that of a teacher, trying to bring the students along and get them on board? I know I find that myself, that I'm not directing, explaining, I'm encouraging, and I'm hoping that they come to the same mindset. Do you find that in your position?
I completely agree. You know, people, nobody wants to be told what to do for the sake of the fact that you can do that, yeah. Right? So you're a CEO, can you tell people what to do? Yes. Is it more effective, and are you going to get more out of people by explaining to them why we're doing it this way and, you know, giving them an opportunity to have a dialogue with you? Yes. I mean, that's how you're going to get the most out of people. You know, they're going to become more loyal to you, yeah, because, you know, they understand your thought process and what's going into your decision-making. So, you know, being somebody who's willing to teach, to, you know, provide information, give them your thought process, I think is a great trait in a leader.
You know, I tell you what, I just love so much talking to other CEOs because it verifies the way I'm doing things. And it also gives me your play on it. So I can bend and modify the way I do things. And like you said, you can't lead by committee. Somebody's got to steer the ship and everybody else has to row with the oars. So it becomes incumbent upon us in the C-suite to say, hey, wait a minute, what's the best thing for the company? And try to make it as palatable as possible for those people who know are going to resist change. You know, you have to bring them along, kind of like, all right, you're in the back of the pack, but we need you to step up a little bit more, you know. So I want to switch gears just a little bit. Two things. Today in our world, culture, inclusion, diversity are all keywords, buzzwords. Everybody's focusing on them. You're seeing more and more articles about it and so forth. What does that mean within H2M?
So I think, you know, taking a look at who we are and how we've got ourselves where we are today, speaks strongly to our culture. You know, we have core values as an organization. We live and breathe them. I do. I am a proponent of, you know, walking the walk. And because of that, I expect all the employees here to also walk the walk. Core values are a way to establish expectations of behaviors. So if you're an employee here and you're working with other people at H2M, there should be a clear understanding of, I know how you're going to behave and you know how I'm going to behave because we're committed to our values. And values are what drive culture, and elements of diversity and inclusion are always going to be made up of the fabric of the people that work here. And my responsibility is to establish a culture within the organization that you know, promotes the value of the individual, that calls on every employee here to recognize the contribution that every person makes in whatever way they make it. You know, we understand that there needs to be a heightened awareness to the things that you can do as a business and decisions you can make in order to promote further diversity and further inclusion. You know, in our industry, we're not good enough. You know, we're not good enough in terms of how we represent ourselves as a culturally diverse and racially diverse and gender diverse organization. And I've established a women's leadership initiative here at H2M, which is going fantastic. And I've empowered a lot of our female leaders to drive the initiative, and I sponsor it as the CEO. I sponsor this initiative, and partnering with you know, Canon has done something similar. So, you know, my team and Canon's team have been working a lot together about, you know, how do you overcome some of the obstacles that are typically in place that might cause females, as an example, to have to make some compromising decisions about their careers and their families. And you know, what can we do as a business to be as supportive as possible to promote diversity and promote inclusion? So it's clearly a major focus of ours also.
Terrific. So did you realize you were going to have to be a social worker when you became a CEO? I'm only teasing. So listen, like a lot of CEOs I interview, I understand that you're focused on giving back and being involved with the community. So maybe you could tell the audience a little bit about what Rich Human is all about in terms of that.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to really fortify who you are and let you know, the people internally and this and the world external to H2M understand what we're all about. You know, the projects we design have an element of legacy. When you're designing schools and assisted living facilities, and you're doing things to clean drinking water, they all make up elements of your legacy. At the same time, H2M is very much about giving back to the community, and we do it in dollars, we do it in employee time and effort. We always look for opportunities to give back as much as we can to charity and community, and a couple of just kind of important elements of that. One is I'm supportive of any employee who has a passion about a charity. It could be something that's personal to them. If they come to me and say, I have a family member who's afflicted by a certain disease, with the company support whatever we're doing, 100% of the time it's a yes. I always say yes. I try to create partnerships between employees and the company. So if the employees do a food drive, I will match, you know, everything that they might raise, I will match it. And you know, anytime that we can be able to create the type of excitement that you people love to do good things. Like, people in general want to be good, they want to do good things. It's extremely rewarding. The benefit to the company is not only the fact that we get opportunities to help where we can, but I think we create a spirit of core internally that really promotes teamwork and promotes selflessness. And those are things that really make a business successful.
On the business side, I know that you belong to certain boards of directors in the business community, which is another way to give back. Maybe you could tell the audience about that.
So I sit on the board of the LIA, which is
explain that for our foreign viewers. We're actually global now, so they wouldn't necessarily know what
no acronyms. So the Long Island Association is a it's a leading business advocacy group here on Long Island. So I've been on the board now for a number of years, and it's a great organization that advocates for businesses big and small, advocates for the economy, for economic development. So that's a great organization. I'm also on the board of the Hotbog Industrial Association of Long Island. I was just voted the chair of the board January this year. So I'm now the board.
Congratulations. Chair.
Thank you. So this organization also represents businesses that are located in the Innovation Park of Long Island at Hotbog, which is the second leading industrial park, second only to Silicon Valley. So everybody's heard about Silicon Valley, right? That's one of the biggest industrial parks in the world. And here it is in the middle of Long Island. We have the second biggest industrial park. There's just a huge economic benefit that comes from this park. I'm also on the advisory board of Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. They do awesome, fantastic world-renowned research there, again, right here on Long Island. So proud of that. I'm on the board of the Interfaith Nutrition Network. It's commonly referred to as the Inn here, and it's a great organization. It helps feed the hungry and homeless in the middle of Nassau County. So these are all just things that I believe I can do as a business leader to give back where I can in the community and kind of the business community.
It becomes incumbent upon us as CEOs to help our fellow CEOs, our fellow organizations. The nonprofit world has always been a big part of my life. I've been a member of the Association of Fundraising Executives. I've been on their board. I've been an honoree, a perennial sponsor, because I love those people. They're doing good things, and I can't do all the good things they do. So I have to help them, right? Yeah. And it's the same thing with the business organizations. But so I don't want to keep you all day, but I have a couple more questions I'd like to ask. One of them is what is one I ask of all the CEOs. What gets you up and going every morning?
I'm excited. I love what I do. I would say this, my dream job is probably being a professional soccer player, but I knew that was never going to happen. So this is probably my, reality dream job. But I get to do things every day that, helps the families of 500 people. I understand how important the things are. If the company's successful, then the employees are successful, their families can be successful. And I take that as seriously as you can take a responsibility. So I would say that's kind of the kick in the butt that I get every morning when I wake up.
And one last question. So our audience is a mix of CEOs and people on their own journey to the C-suite. What's one piece of advice you would like to leave with them? It could be either personal or business or both.
So I would probably say opportunities always present themselves. Be aware enough to see the opportunities and be willing enough to take some risks, because if you are, then you can find your way to, the corner. If you're not, you could still be happy. You could still, find the right career for yourself, because being a CEO is not the goal for every person. But if it is your goal, working hard and seizing opportunity is the best way to get there.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Rich. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
You're welcome.
You've been a great guest. We've learned some really cool things about you and about H2M.
Great.
Right? So I'm going to say goodbye to you right now, and I'm going to close the show out by telling our audience that the recordings of this interview are available on video on Greg's Corner Office YouTube channel or on gregscorneroffice.com, and as a podcast on all the streaming platforms that there are. So if you like the show, just subscribe, like, and share everywhere, and you'll be helping us build the audience. We bring some really exciting CEOs to the game, and I wouldn't want you to miss an episode. So thank you all very, very much. And Rich, thank you again.
You're welcome, Greg.
Good job.
All right.